just thank you, Father. We pray that you give us the ears to hear and a mind to understand, Father. And whatever we learn tonight, that we take it with us and we share it with others, Father. In Jesus' name, our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Let's see if I can get all of these machines to work.
Did that stop last week?
What?
Oh, yeah.
That one stopped last week. I don't know what happened to the tape or what was, but it kept stopping at home also. I don't know. But I had to retape it again. I took it off the little tape that's in there and remastered it. And at least that I have a backup. I've got three machines going here, so one of them may get it. Anyway, we're in 4 and verse 23 is where we'll start tonight. 4 and verse 23. Anamuste.
Day.
To.
Numati.
To. Nous. Himon. All right. Very short verse. Lots in this short verse. I could spend the whole hour on this verse easily if you really chased it. All right. Anamuste. What does it say, Brother Harold, have you got New American Standard?
Yes, sir.
What's it say there, New American Standard?
And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
All right. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, let's look and see what it says here. Anamuste. All right. Anamuste. It means to... up and renew. It means to have your mind lifted up and out of the mire of the world. Now, Paul tells us in other places also, he tells us to renew our minds daily, doesn't he? If you did not go to church, if you weren't around God's people and you were saved, what kind of effect would the world have upon you?
Very depressing.
Yeah, depressing. Not only that, but do you think the world could grab you real easy?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Well, it sure could. If you want to follow God, then you've got to also follow His ways.
Now, well, this had a note here, a sub-note, referring back to Romans 12.
12 and 2, yeah. You want to read Romans 12 and 2 for me?
All right. And do not be conformed, and your notes are with structure, to this world,
but
be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved that will of God that is good and acceptable and perfect.
All right. That's beautiful. Don't be conformed to the world, but let your mind be transformed, changed, renewed. All right? Anamuste. There are 5 words for mind in Greek, basically. You can put 6 in there if you want to. But one of them is nous, the one we're dealing with right here. Nous is the faculty of perception and understanding, feeling, judging, determining. And Ephesians 4:17, Philippians 4:7, Colossians 2:18, and even Ephesians 4:23, 1 Timothy 6 and 5, 1 Timothy 3 and 8. A new faculty of understanding inherited with a new birth, a way of thinking. All right? This word nous, this is the word we're studying tonight. Okay, this one right here. Now there's another one. It's thelo, or thele, which means to will or to want something. When you were in the world, before you knew the Lord, your thinking was different than it is today, wasn't it? Your wishes and wants. The Ephesians, the first chapter, is so beautiful. Because it comes from this word, and a lot of the lexicographers don't put this word in there, and I'm just sharing this one with you, okay? This is an extra word, thele, okay? Paulus Apostolos Christus Jesu dia telematos. That word tele, or fellow, I wish. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the spiritual activating force of God. Think about that. Tele, fellow, that means to wish or to want, okay? So we've got nous, okay? You can write that one down, nous. And then we got thele, or thelematos, okay? And then we have the word nome. I'm going to try to write these up there for you. Okay? Nous. That's the word that's used there, and it comes from thele, okay? All right? And then we have the word nome. First one that ever told me about this was not my Greek teacher, of all things. The first one that introduced me to this was not my Greek teacher. It was Brother D.S. Madden. Of course, he had a doctorate of Bible languages, so he knew Greek, and he didn't do a lot with it. But every now and then he'd throw out a gold mine. And this is one of the gold mines he threw at me, and I've never forgotten it. And I had it in my first year of seminary class, New Testament survey. Nous, thelematos, and nome. All right? Spiritual activating force is this one. This one here is the one that gets your mind going. It's the activating force that makes you work, your mind work. Okay? And then nome. Let me look at nome here. The ability to discern the capacity of judgment as far as conduct is determined. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, and many other places in the New Testament. That's the word nome, okay? Nome. Our word knowledge comes from this word, by the way. Our word knowledge comes right directly from this word, okay? Nome, and then we have the word boule. 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 Let's look at this one now. The mental will or plan. Alright? Mental will or plan. How you plan something. This is your boule, your will. Okay? And we see that one at Council. Acts 27, verse 39. 2 Corinthians 1, 17. Matthew 11, or 1, verse 19. Acts 15, verse 37. And 18:27, Hebrews 6 and 17, and Ephesians 1, 11 and 14. That's the word boule. And this here is a plan or counsel. How you act. What makes you act. That's this word right here. All right, boule. Now let's look at another one. Brain. Brain is the diaphragm of your mind, the midriff of your mind, or the intellect. And this is the word, is a carnal intellect. Okay? This is what keeps people alive when they're in danger. All right? Have you ever been in a dangerous situation? I'm going to call, what's the name of that place down in that Remax? They put a sign down at the corner of Gosford and Bear Mountain, and I've almost had a wreck two or three times. It covers when you look at the traffic coming this way, you don't see the traffic, and I pulled right out in front of a car tonight. I had to think fast. I put my foot on the brake. All right, that's your brain. This is what we call horse sense. The ranchers up in Fish Lake Valley, if they wanted a good cow horse, they would have somebody go out there and gather up Mustangs. 2 or 3 years old, something like that. Not real old ones, because they're pretty hard to break. But get a 2 or 3 year old Mustang, he's about ready to ride. And they gentle him down, and then they ride him. And I'll tell you what, you get out there in the mountains, and that horse is going to tell you if danger's around. Why? because he's been there and he's still alive. That's proof that he knows where danger is. You slip up on a horse, a wild Mustang. Slip up on one without him knowing it. Slip up on a deer without him knowing it. They know when danger's there. This is what you call horse sense. This word frame here. This is horse sense. This is just, it doesn't mean so much as ability for right and wrong, but the ability to understand situations that will keep you breathing and alive. Okay? Now, I tell you, sometimes, as children of God, we ought to be able to have enough horse sense to know what's good for us and bad for us, shouldn't we? Yeah. All right, the word frame. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20 and 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 and 12 and Romans 12 and verse 3. Now here's a beautiful word. This is one of my wife likes. This is the word. Remember what it is, Marilyn? Well, now, what's the word you like for mine? Remember? Can you read that? Sophia.
Yeah.
All right, Sophia. The word Sophia Loren, the name Sophia Loren came from this. Now, what does Sophia mean? Do you remember Marilyn?
Wisdom.
Godly wisdom is what it means. Godly wisdom. The ability to, the facilities of mind to take every situation to bring about something to glorify God. To turn it around. Take any situation where you can turn it around to use that to glorify God. That's what Sophia means. James 1 and verse 5. And many, many other places in the Bible. My text is so torn up here that I can't read the rest of them. It's faded away. Well, these are some words from mine. These actually I gave you. How many we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Okay? If you put Theonomatos in there. And I think we really should. Put that down there for future reference too, because I'll probably forget it. Forget my name anymore. All right, we got all these words for mind in Greek. Now let's look at the one that we're talking about. This word mind here just means your mind, your ability to think and reason. Okay, this word nous. Now ana nou este, ana neo. Okay? It means to make new again. To make new again. It is a word that is only, by the way, this is the only place it's found in the New Testament. Only time you're going to find this word in the New Testament. This one, this is it. To make new again. Now, what happened to mankind? What happened to mankind? Who created mankind? God created mankind. How did God create mankind?
In His own image.
In His own image. It says in Genesis, the first chapter, that He made God. God made man in His shadow casting image. In other words, He looks like us physically. Okay? Now, the only person, the only God that we've ever seen has anything to do with Jesus Christ. He is the only God in flesh. Okay, that is God that we can see. That's God's physical image. And when God made man, He made him in that physical image. How else did He make him?
Sinless.
Huh?
Sinless.
He made him sinless. Now let's look. Is God triune?
Yes.
All right, now I've shown you this 100 times, I guess. But I'm going to show it to you one more time because it's relevant here. It has to be. All right? We have the mind of man. All right? There's the mind. And in that mind is also the soul. The suke. Nefesh in Hebrew. All right? We have the mind, we have the spirit. Okay? And we have the body.
Now we have mind and soul, we have body and we have spirit. Now when God created Adam, He created him in his spiritual image. He was eternal. From that point of time on. He had a beginning. God didn't have a beginning, but man will every man that has ever been born in the world is eternal from that time on, isn't he? So he's a spiritual being. Not just a body, not just a rock, not just a tree, but he is a spiritual being. Now, this thing right here this is a podium, okay? Before it was a podium, what was it? A piece of wood, and probably animals. Because the glue that put this thing together probably was animal glue, made out of horse hooves and things like that, and cattle hooves, and they make glue out of it, okay? And it probably has some steel in it. Well, now the glue, if it was animal glue, were those animals walking and round and neighing and mooing and whatever? At one time they were. How about this tree? Was it breathing? Yeah, trees breathe. I don't know all about, the scientists are beginning to understand more about creation all the time. When God created the heavens and the earth, I'm going to tell you something, He did something fantastic. I was watching a program last night on atomic science. They now have figured out that there's one more element in the atom that they didn't even know before. They say matter does not cease to exist. Okay? Once it's created, it's never ceased to exist. Matter is matter. Remember what Einstein said? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Energy. Okay? And this other element in the atomic structure, this little electron type thing that's there that they have never been able to really count or whatever, but now they believe it's there. It's the ghost particle, is what they call it. Ghost particle, spirit particle. Okay? Because it's energy. Do you think God might be energy also? Since He creates energy. Where did the world come from? The whole cosmos. Out of God. It came from God, didn't it? Where did man come from?
God's creation.
God, I'm going to tell you this also. Because you're not going to get this from anything but Hebrew. Okay? Remember Brother Jerry came. Remember Jerry? Brother Jerry. He came in the class and he challenged my Hebrew. Well, I mean, tell you, when you got a Hebrew scholar, you have to brush up on your Hebrew a little bit. But I told him things, and he talked to me, and we'd have dinner together, and he'd come to visit me in my home and things. And he said, boy, he said, you really know Hebrew. Mm-hmm. He said, all you need to do is use a little bit more, and you'd be fluent in it. Well, the Hebrew Bible, the English Bible, and King James was the villain of this. King James says that He made man from the dust of the earth. Doesn't it? But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says that He made man from the same elements that He made the dust of the earth from. To become dust. All right. Man is not a secondary creation of God. He is a primary creation of God. Now, if this podium is made from a tree, what is this podium? It's a secondary creation. Some cabinet maker made this podium. But he made it from something that God had created. Okay? Now, if God created the dust of the ground and He made man from the dust of the ground, what would that be? He would be a secondary creation of God. That's not what God did. And this is the beauty of it. God made man from the same elements that He made the dust of the ground because man came directly from the hand of God, not from the dirt. He would become dirt. That was prophecy. Alright? Isn't that beautiful? And that is perfection from the hands of God. The body. So we have mind. Now, God definitely thinks, doesn't He? If you don't, I love to see the creation. And one of the places that I love to go most of all is in the ocean. I love to go out to the ocean. And Brother David, once in a while, you hear all back and swam with a fish and got fed a fish, didn't you? I tell you what, it's marvelous down there, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. The microscopic world, the microbiological world is fantastic. How God, you just... I was listening yesterday about shrimp. They were talking about a shrimp. A little bitty tiny shrimp. This shrimp has a partner that he lives with him. And he would go and he'd make these holes in the earth down underneath the water. And he makes them just fine. And this other animal depends upon him. And he depends on this other animal that he lives with. How about the sharks in the ocean that have these other fish, that those pile of fish that go along and clean them and everything else? The crocodiles that lay out in the sun and open their mouth like that real big and they get their teeth cleaned, but birds. God made every creature. You know that termites cannot digest wormwood? They have another creature living with them now that digests the wood that makes it usable to them. You just start realizing the greatness of the creation of God. Okay? That's why God put this gourd on top of your shoulders. He put a brain inside of it to think. And when we think and when we look, don't ever be afraid to study science, true science. Because all you're going to see is the glory of God. And we have mind, we have the body, and we have spirit. God made man in his triune image. What do we have corresponding to this? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Father, and we have the Son, don't we? Just like that. There aren't three gods, there's just one. How many of you are there? One. Now, I can guarantee you that there are different... Brother Harry, you ever try to go the wrong way sometimes since you've been saved? Well, that's the body, isn't it? All right? And that's the carnal mind, the frame, okay? Do you feel like two different people sometimes? Yeah. Lord, that will get thee behind me. Boy, I mean it. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Terrible. We are in a pickle sometimes, aren't we? Because of the flesh. Well, God tells us here in Ephesians 4:23, and he tells you in the book of Romans also. I look at Romans 12:2 and I think about that. But he tells us to renew our minds. To make it fresh. Just like it was in the garden. When God created Adam, when he created him, not from the dust of the ground, but from the very person of God, the very essence of God, God created man. He is fresh, he is new. Okay? And his mind is fresh and it's new. And unlimited! Well, I tell you what, I used to be a pretty smart fella. I had a real good IQ. Anymore? I have to study real hard for every class I teach. And I forget it tomorrow. I used to teach 5 hours a day and three or four other classes and remember every one of them and everything I wanted to say. And I could just get up and extemporaneously talk for 5 or 6 hours at a time. Used to. My brain, one person told me one time, well, maybe you wore it out. Well, maybe I did. I don't know what happened to it, but it left me somewhere or another down the stream there. Maybe I'll catch it downstream. I know when I'm going to catch it downstream. It's when I get it all finally renewed in the presence of God. I was sitting at my computer the other night doing something, working over the website or something like that, and I thought, well, you know what, I'm sitting here and I'm working on this, but maybe I can make that computer. I'm going to go over to Kevin's website
And he's got a radio station at 91.7 FM in Idaho Falls, Idaho. If you're ever in Idaho Falls, Idaho, you can hear me preach every day, 24 hours a day, on that radio station. So I went to the radio station. Well, he downloaded some of the music off that radio station and put it on the website, so you can go listen to the music that they're playing. So I turned the music on, and I sat there for a few minutes, and then I started singing, didn't I, Mary? She was sitting over there. She was crocheting, or what do you call that? Needle pointing, whatever you're doing, embroidery. And she'll sit there while I talk on the radio or work on the computer or something. And anyway, I was sitting over there, and I was singing. And then I started crying. I missed that music so much. Boy, I miss that music. Most of the music you hear today is this praise music. These were old-time songs. Gospel songs. Gospel songs. You know what a gospel song is? Not only these were gospel songs, but it was talking about leaving this world behind. Remember my grandma when I was a little bitty kid? My grandma took me out to the cotton fields.
This world is not my home. I'm just
passing through. Yeah. Boy, singing all of those songs. Swing low, sweet chariot. Oh, that's one of my favorite songs. You know why they used to sing these songs, Brother Harry? The old, what we call the Negro spirituals. You know why they sang those songs? Because this world was so bad, they wanted to go to the next one. It had to be better. You get out there in the hot sun in the cotton fields, you out chopping cotton or digging ditches or whatever. You know what those old boys are singing about? Swing low, sweet chariot. This is not my home. All these kind of songs. They wanted to leave this earth. And they were only held down here. They were only chained to this earth by the body. But one of these days, they're going to lay the old body behind and go up there in glory and see the streets of gold. I'd go out there with my grandma. My grandma always sang. And she'd be out there singing with all those people in the cotton fields. And boy, I tell you what, I have never heard a church sound any better than that. Never in my life. I never heard a church sound any better than that. Because those people were singing from the bottom of their hearts because they wanted to leave this old world behind. They did. They were renewing their minds. That's what they were doing. Singing themselves in the glory. Out of the cotton patch with the old sweat and dust and dirt and the bugs biting in and running into the hornet's nest and the wasp nest and the bees and all that kind of... Man, you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I've been there. Singing themselves in the glory. Well, just think about that for a while. Renewing your... Making yourself brand new like God created you back in the garden. We can start that process right here in this world. God, when you are saved, He gives you a brand new spirit. He takes this old spirit, this old deceitful spirit out of you and puts His spirit in you. Okay? That's a deposit. Because when you have this spirit in you, you are guaranteed that God's going to redeem it. He's going to redeem you. This is His earnest money. This is His unrefundable deposit in you. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that's beautiful. That He's going to redeem this old worthless body. Now when an animal dies or when this tree died, this tree lived. Well, it's standing here as a podium here now. It's probably an oak tree at one time, but now it's a podium. They used to say, well, they can kill me, but they can't eat me. Boy, I tell you what, in this world today, they're liable to kill you and eat you both. But you know what? That matter is not going to disappear. God's going to gather it up one of these days. I don't care what they do to you. Burn you up, throw you out in the ocean, whatever. God's going to call it back together. Because it's married forever to this spirit. Indelibly. You're going to gather up that mind, too. Stick them all back together. To be lifted up. Present infinitive middle voice. You have something to do with it. That middle voice means you've got something to do with it, doesn't it? Present, negative, middle. Surrender yourself to God so God can renew your mind. In the spirit of the noose. Look at that word noose. There's your word noose. Okay? Of the mind of ye. You have to surrender yourself to God. Sing yourself in the glory. Study yourself in the glory. So that God can be glorified with your life now. 4 verse 24. Before this, it said God said to take off the old man and leave him behind, didn't it? Leave him there. Now he's telling you what to do. After you take off the old man, you're going to be dressing up in something else because there's a void there. Kai. In mizaste. Tone. Kainon. Anthropon. Tone. Kata. Theon. Katestente. En. Dekaiosune. Kai. Hosiotiti. Taste. Alithios. And this is another one of those long verses. Boy, that one was long. The first little short thing was so long. What are we going to do with this one? And to bind on for yourself. Now you've taken the old man off. You're starting to work on your mind. Now, what do you think you're going to tie on? You're going to dress your whole body, your triune self now, as a different person. I remember I grew up around winos. Out of my family, we counted one time about 130 or 40 people, about 90 of them were winos and alcoholics. Terrible. I'll guarantee you one thing. When you get close to the wino, you know he's a wino because you can smell him. If you were blind, you'd know he's a wino. I used to go out there with my old uncle's place where he lived out there behind me, and he had barrels full of wine bottles. And you couldn't dig a hole in that yard that you didn't run into wine bottles. I can smell that to this day. I can smell him. I remember that. And God saved that old wino. And I was mad about it. I'll never forget that. I went up there to my Uncle Bill, and he was so rotten to me all of my life. He just did everything to me you could think of. I despised him. Remember how Nineveh was a horrible city, and God was going to use Nineveh to chastise Israel? And God sent Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah went there and preached to them like he hated them. And when they were saved, he sat down and pouted underneath the gourd vine. You know, remember that? Well, I did. That uncle of mine beat me up all the time, like to kill me one time with an axe handle, hit me across the back and almost killed me. I didn't do anything. I sat out in my backyard looking at too young to read, but I was looking at the pictures in the encyclopedia. I always like to look at books. He came by and bought him a new axe handle, wanted to try it out on me, I guess. Hit me with that thing so hard I couldn't breathe. I was black and blue from my shoulders all the way down as far as he hit me. Just like to kill me. How to pull my hair out every time he got near me, my ears off my head, steal everything I ever had. One time, my friend and I were out in the backyard playing army, and we were throwing rocks at each other, and we had dirt clods, and one of them hitting the foxholes, we'd say, "Fire in the hole!" And Bill heard us hollering, and he said, "Who called me a wino?" He came out and tried to kill us. "We didn't call you a wino, Bill. We said fire in the hole, not wino." Wine controlled that man. Controlled him. But I got the scene change a little bit. I went up there and I preached him to Bill, "You're going to hell." He killed people and got by with it. I know two people that he killed, another man he tried to kill, cut one man's head off, knocked one man down. I found him about 3 or 4 days later. He was just black and and blue and purple looking. Went in there and found him.
I said, "Boy, I know you killed people. I know you did all this stuff. You're the most rottenest man in this world. If anybody ever deserves to go to hell, you will. And you're going to hell." I told him, and then I told him about Jesus. Well, I said, "Yeah, but God made a way out for you." He said, "I want to be saved." "You don't want to be saved." "You don't deserve to be saved." Yeah, and I prayed with him. Then when I went by to see him later on, I could see a change in his life. He didn't have any money. He never wanted money. He never gave me any money before. He wanted money. He stole from me. He'd give me a little bit of money. "Here, go cut this in the church." And then he'd go to church with his sister. Many years later, my cousin gave me his Bibles. And God had heard the prayers of his father. In 1903, I think, when he was born, he had a Bible and bought it for that boy. His father did. And wrote in that thing, how did he save? And how that he is praying for him all his life. In 1920-something, he gave him another Bible. He wanted to make sure he had a Bible. And in that Bible, he told him and showed him, he said, "This would make a good sermon, Bill." He wanted him to be a preacher. And that said he was a killer and a horrible person. He had a brother named Jim. He took Jim and him went hunting one day, and Jim had a little dog he loved so much. They took a rifle with him, and he shot that dog to watch his brother cry. He'd take the kids out and beat them with bull whips. Just miserable, miserable human being. Horrible person. Reminds me of that thief that was on the cross. You know, the one of them, just all he did was spit in Jesus' face, and the other one says, "Lord, when you come in your paradise, remember me." He said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Never any chance. You know what? God has got glory from that man's life ever since then, because that's written in the New Testament. And that old ungodly buzzard uncle of mine, well, now that I know why that God saved him, he heard his father's prayer. And that boy that he wanted to be a preacher so much, he didn't get it. But you know what? I'm his great-grandson. Maybe those prayers God heard too. Maybe those prayers. That's why he called me. Well, God used me to lead him to the Lord. I saw him change. Boy, I'll tell you what. I couldn't stand to be around that room. He stunk just like wine. After that, he didn't smell like wine anymore. He stunk, but he didn't smell like wine. He didn't clean up a whole lot. But he wasn't drinking like he did before. It didn't control his life. God wants his spirit to control you like wine does a wino. That's right. He's going to tell us that in just a little while in this same book. Clothe yourself with a new man and bind upon yourself the new tone kinon, the new anthropone. When we're born in this world, we have a spirit in us that is the spirit of the disobedience, Paul says. Unpersuaded. The spirit of disobedience. But when we're saved, we have a brand new spirit in us. That's the spirit of obedience. We still have to fight the old man. And it says, bind on for yourself the new man, the one according to God. Can you read that for me in the New American Standard there, Brother Harold?
Verse 24?
Yeah, verse 24.
And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth.
All right, didn't that sound good? Now let's go look at deeper. Okay? Brother David, can you read my note down there? Can you read my writing down there? I used to write better than I do today. Can you read that?
I can make my arms long enough.
All right.
Let me borrow some glasses.
Since God,
the Holy Spirit,
is the Holy Spirit.
Is the Holy Spirit.
It follows
that a
which
I can't
that which God does is done by what we know as the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. When we are permitted to see God, we shall not see three separate objects, but only one object, the pressed out image of the invisible God with three personalities. There are three persons in the Godhead, but only one God. It is to be feared that many are trying to worship three gods instead of one God. But it is certain that the Bible teaches that there is only one God. And that was, I quoted that from Ben Bogard and Kurt Adinda on page 29. Now, there is one person in you. The only thing about it is when you're born again, that person changes. All right? And he takes off a brand new robe that he did before. Titus 1 and 8, 1 Timothy 2 and 8, Acts 2:27, 13:35, Hebrews 7:26, Revelation 15 and 4, and 16 and 5. These are all cross references. Colossians 3 and 10, Romans 8 and 29, Ephesians 2 and verse 15. These are all different places. The Bible does not speak alone anywhere. It reinforces itself 1,000 times. Anything that Peter said, by inspiration, God was going to use Paul to say it, and he was going to use Luke to say it, and he was going to have John repeat it, and he was going to have Matthew repeat it, and he was going to have Mark repeat it. Everyone, he was going to have James repeat it. Going to have Jude repeat it. All of these things aren't just something that just pops up. If you base what you believe on one verse in the Bible, and it can't be, your belief can't be found anyplace else, just walk off from it. Because evidently you have gone somewhere where you shouldn't go. According to the God, we are to pattern our lives according to the person of Jesus Christ. Because in the person of Jesus Christ, we see the Holy Spirit and we see God. Don't we? So when we pattern ourselves after what Christ did in this world, you're not going to go wrong. You're not going to go wrong. Just think about it. In the Old Testament, God never gave anyone the right to call him Father when they prayed. You go find him. You can find him. They said that he was a God, he was a Father of eternity, but you couldn't say Father in heaven. No. At the cross, Jesus Christ gave us the right to say Father when we pray. Isn't that so? In the Old Testament, people always looked down in death. Didn't they? They looked down to Sheol, didn't they? Down to the place of departed spirits. But in the New Testament, now, when we think about death, a child of God, where do you think about? That place that those fellows sung about in the cotton fields. The glory. The golden streets. The golden streets. The pearly gates. Swing low, sweet chariot, and carry me home to my abode above, in the heavens above. Not down, but up. Not down, but up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not a child of God, you can't look up. You're going to look down. You can't look forward to getting out of this old world and out of the suffering and the aches and the pains of this world. All you can look about is a place where it's down, where there's a whole lot more of it without end. According to the pattern, which is God, and then it says, having been created. All right, how are we created? Having been created. You ought to write down been in there. You can translate having created, but to get grammatically perfect, put down having been created. Because why? It's in the passive voice. First aorist, participle, passive. Accusative singular masculine. having been created. How? In righteousness, the kaiosune. All right, what is this righteousness? What is the righteousness? At the cross of Calvary, we put on the righteousness of Christ, don't we? So we're having been created in righteousness and holiness. Hosiotete. And you can write down there supreme holiness. That is God's holiness. Super holiness. He was devout, he was pure, and he was supremely holy, wasn't he? If he wasn't, then we don't have any salvation. He died for our sins, but was raised for our what? Justification. And when we're justified, you are made righteous, aren't you? The holiness of truth. The truth is truth. The absolute opposite is what? Error. All right, error. Truth is truth, but the absolute opposite is error. There are people today, there are churches tonight that are gathered together. What is the date?
22.
There are people that are gathered together tonight teaching that Jesus is not God. That Jesus was a good man. That Jesus was an angel. Are a great example for us to follow. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is God. He is our Savior. He is our Creator. God made us in His image. Back in the garden. And He told us when we're born again to put on again and become a brand new person. Because God gives you the ability. The Bible tells us, you know, in the Old Testament, when I started reading the Bible, when I started going to church, I read the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you something. That's not a very good place to start. Because all you know you're going to get there is condemned. Thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do this, and kill this one that does that, and kill that one that does this. And boy, what a mess. Brother Harold, we were in this class last week, the Lord was just laying it on us by the agency of Paul. But then He gives us a way out, doesn't He? He always tells us how bad we are, but then He tells us that we can put on Christ, that we can be renewed, that we have a new world to look forward to. And I'm going to tell you something, people, I think we're closer to it than we've ever been before. As we study the revelation of John, and as we study the second coming of the Lord, I think we're near. Well, I can guarantee you one thing, in the church age, we're nearer than we've ever been. That's an absolute fact. I can say that unreservedly. We're nearer to the second coming than the churches have ever been in the history of the churches. Of the Lord. Thank you for your attention tonight. I hope you enjoyed God's Word as we study it. Come back next week when we're going to start with 4 and verse 25. We only got two verses this week. Is that the kind you like, Brother Harold?
Amen.
You said that when we study one or two verses, you like that the bed block didn't get any further tonight. I wanted to get on and get into another book and cover this one behind, but I don't want to leave anything there unturned. These were some good words. Just remember that word there, to be renewed, to be made new again, that's the only time it was ever used in the history of the New Testament. God doesn't have to say it 50 times. Did you know that? My teacher said, if you want somebody to learn something, say it and then repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.